there will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Next couple of hours, live local talk. That's how we do it. Of course, you are a big part of the show on the text line, on the phone line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, we'll check back in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams and get an update on our forecast. Not bad. I mean, a few showers maybe tomorrow morning and some clouds around, but no rain other than maybe tomorrow morning. So, Fairhope Arts and Crafts Festival started this morning at 10. They're opened up for 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Of course, St. Patrick's Day going on as well. Looks pretty good forecast for Sunday, but we'll get more from Doc coming up. It's 62 now, heading for a high around 70, and we're getting started here on a Friday. And a lot to do on the show today, 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. Also, we'll take you to Washington, look at the latest news on the Senate's vote and rebuke of President Trump's emergency action. We'll get into that, and also some news out of Montgomery. Yeah, it's not all over, even though there's, by the way, if people were asking earlier, why isn't anything going on today with the legislature? We're going to talk a little bit about the lotto bill that will come up next week. The reason why is the governor called for a special session. Special session is through, I think it's through Monday, right? Because they go back Tuesday. So when they voted, the House voted to pass the three bills, the infrastructure gas tax bill, and the Senate did, and the governor signed it. Weird thing about the way the procedure works in Montgomery, now they can't do anything else because the special session was in effect. They finished the special session task. Therefore, they don't go back. So they can't, I mean, they were at work for like four days, and then they're already on spring break. I'm not trying to start problems with Montgomery, but they're already on spring break, and they go back to work on Tuesday. All right, and this first half hour of the show, I want to talk about something that in the past you've maybe heard me mention this pharmacy, and I know about them because I get their emails and I watch what they do in our community, but it got stepped up here on my radar earlier this week when I saw a story from our news partners at WKRG about a charitable pharmacy. To read what they said, a charitable pharmacy in Mobile is having to pay for a new door after someone broke into their facility and stole $120. We're going to get into that in a second. Thieves used a large piece of concrete to break in the glass door at Osnam Charitable Pharmacy. Donation box was smashed, money taken from inside, and we'll get more details on what happened and who they are and what they do for our community, because Sheree Archer, Executive Director, is joined us in studio. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for inviting us, Sean.
So let's talk, first of all, make sure I pronounce it, because I always read it, and I'll say, is it Osnam? Osnam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I were talking a second ago before we started, and y'all have been on my radar for 3 or 4 years, but you told me y'all have been part of our community for
20 years.
20.
And the way we came about was 20 years ago, Part D did not exist for seniors.
Okay.
So 14 good
Part D.
Part D, which is Medicare Part D.
Okay.
And that's the drug portion of Medicare.
Okay.
So it allows the seniors to get a discount,
mm-hmm,
or low cost medication.
Right.
And so that didn't exist. And as a result, 14 wonderful people came together, because we are a homegrown, community-based pharmacy.
Okay.
This is unique to our community. There's no other pharmacy like us that exists in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
So they got together and said, you know, we could, you know, they can get food, but they can't get their medication.
Right.
And so that's how we started, in a closet at the, and we came out of the closet, but a closet at 555 Dolphin Street. The Archdiocese was good enough to allow us to have space for 18 years, you know, before they also moved.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing, this mission is simple. We provide medication, life-sustaining, to chronically ill individuals in Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, and just last month we added Washington County.
Wow. Okay. So for 20 years, y'all have been doing this, and you, charitable pharmacy. So a charitable pharmacy is a pharmacy that has the drugs that people need, but y'all are doing it based on the fact that people can't pay these rates.
Right. What happens is our patients are uninsured.
Okay.
They are, they come from different situations.
You laid out a lot of these different
ones. Right. Many of them work. They work two and three jobs, but they can't afford the high cost of health care premiums.
Right.
And they make too much for Medicaid. So they're kind of like in a, what we call an insurance gap, health insurance gap.
We hear the donut. Is that the donut hole? Or
no, the donut hole is actually when seniors, you know, seniors get about $3,300 in benefits, prescription benefits every year. When they exhaust that, that's when they get into what they call a donut hole. So then that medication becomes a retail. So, you know, we were talking about if they were diabetic and they were on a short-acting insulin like Novolog, that Novolog would cost $588, $600 a month.
Wow.
And that's really unaffordable for anybody.
So, that, okay, there's for the seniors. So the issue is these are folks that are working. Mm-hmm. A lot of these folks are working, but they don't make enough to pay, and you're going to lay out some of the cases like you just did for mm-hmm. what people are paying a month mm-hmm. for the prescriptions. They're working, but they don't. If they made less, they would have a mechanism to take care of them.
Right.
But they make too much for that, but not enough to pay for the.
See, in Mobile, we have wonderful organizations like Franklin, Mobile County Health Department, Victory Health Partners. So they have access to doctors.
Mm-hmm.
They could pay for that doctor visit. And so they scrape together enough, you know, whatever the sliding scale fee is, because mm-hmm. we don't have a free clinic in Mobile.
Right.
So, but they pay the sliding scale fee, and then they, you know, when they get to the pharmacy, they can't afford the medication. So we have people strategically trained at all of those organizations to identify a patient who needs our services.
Okay, so they've just seen someone, they know they're there, and they call y'all and say, this person's going to need insulin, or this person's going to need whatever.
Well, they actually do the paperwork for us, because
oh, wow.
we are, it's only four of us who are full-time, and then we have four part-time individuals. So we don't have enough staff to accommodate the 1,695 patients that we have to take care of.
Wow, so that's a big bunch of folks.
That's a big bunch of folks.
Okay, so how do y'all get? You know, you've shown me some of the prices mm-hmm. we were talking about, and mm-hmm. on insulin is a pretty good example, because so many folks are diabetic. So mm-hmm. many folks need mm-hmm. insulin, and you showed me some of the prices even after coupons
mm-hmm.
of what this was costing for people that
right.
didn't have the coverage.
A person who's diabetic and who is taking an injectable insulin.
Okay.
They could be looking at $1,100 a month, because they have to take two, a long-acting and a short-acting, you know, depending on the type of diabetic they are. If they're type 2 and their numbers are really out of control, then possibility that they're on two different insulins. And that could be anywhere from $1,100 to $1,300 a month.
So even if somebody's working, that could be impossible.
That's a mortgage on a nice house.
Yes, yes.
You know,
and that's what they're facing.
So what you're hearing across the nation, and because we have this unique entity, we have a standalone free pharmacy for our community. We take care of everybody, whatever the circumstances. But across the nation, I don't know if you've heard, like, I think it was, I forgot, it was North. There was a young man, you know, we have children who are aging out of their parents' health insurance. They're
right.
turning 26. When that happens, then they have to find insurance on their own. Well, this young man was a type 1 diabetic. He aged out. He didn't tell his parents that he needed help with the insulin. So as a result, he rationed his insulin, 26 years old, and he died. So it's a life-sustaining type situation.
I mean, so we're not even talking, you know, the people get the idea, it's a designer, medicine or something. We're, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about basic, you're talking about insulin here,
Sheree.
Insulin. All right, and we come back and we'll talk more about the people you help and how we, the community here, can help you help them.
Okay.
We come back and we'll also get some calls and text at 343-0106. My guest this half hour, Sheree Archer, Executive Director and Major Ozanam.
Ozanam.
See, I'm a quick learner. Ozanam Pharmacy. I've been reading their name for years, so just now learning how to pronounce it. Coming right back. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It was pretty neat. As we were sitting here talking, Sheree, I got an email from Ozanam about the expansion into Washington County.
Yes.
It's like right, like we're just talking about it and it showed up in my inbox.
Yes, we've already started taking care of patients.
That is wow. So once again, if you're just joining us, talking to Sheree Archer, Executive Director, Ozanam Pharmacy, charitable pharmacy right here in Mobile, but helping people, name the counties. Tell us who you're helping again.
We help Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, and now Washington County.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's
and you have
lot.
How many?
We have 1,695 patients. 1,695 patients.
And those are folks, as you described, that quite often are working, but they don't have insurance, and you just described... Mm-hmm. We were talking, this is a good one, I think, to work off of. I know there are a whole bunch of host of other drugs that are prescribed, but insulin, mm-hmm. such a big deal. It is mm-hmm. life-sustaining for a diabetic.
That's
and,
correct.
And you gave me some numbers on what this would cost. We're talking about $1,100 a month for somebody.
Right.
Possibly, without if they don't have the insurance paying.
And then if you're diabetic, there's a chance you're taking a cholesterol medication. There's a chance you're taking a blood pressure medication. So you start adding meds, you know, to, you know, that disease. You know, every chronic disease that we take care of, you know, requires some maintenance. We also provide anti-seizure medication, heart disease. You know, heart disease is the number one. And then we also carry a behavior medication. So our patients who are suffering from, you know, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, we also take care of them as well.
Serious stuff. All this is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, and knowing that y'all were a charitable pharmacy, when I saw the story earlier this week y'all had been broken into, I can't use that word on the radio. It ticked me off.
Yeah. It you
and
know
you said it's not the first time.
It's
y'all
not
have been.
The first time. The first time was when we moved in. Well, it was shortly after we moved into Cedar Street.
You're on Cedar Street. Okay.
And, you know, we moved from we were at 571 Dauphin Street, which is right by Wenzel's.
Mm-hmm.
We were there for many years. Had never been broken into, and then we moved and. We had everywhere. We knew they were trying to break in. And so we put signs everywhere, no good stuff, no drugs.
Because y'all don't have narcotics. You
yeah,
don't have
we
the
don't,
opiates.
We,
you don't have that
we
stuff.
We don't carry that. And so, and we alerted the police. The police were wonderful and did, you know, surveillance. They waited till the police circled and they broke in.
They timed out the police.
But they did not destroy the front door this time. They destroyed the pharmacy door. And they went straight to the back looking for the H's, which is hydrocodone. You know, they were looking for good stuff. Only thing they found was laxative.
Sure,
so
wish they would have taken
nothing.
All that. But in doing okay, they took nothing. But in doing that, they destroyed the door. That cost money. That
cost $1,000 to replace.
$1,000. So
yes.
There's $1,000 away from being able to help people get medication.
Mm-hmm. That's equivalent to about 28 patients receiving 1 month supply of medication. With this current one, now they broke a commercial glass, and that's a whole different ball game. So it cost us $2,200 to replace that. That's about 48 patients receiving 1 month supply, and that's money we didn't budget for.
Right.
You know, this is just, you know, a senseless, you know, crime that had consequences, you know, because it took staff
time. It affects a whole bunch of people.
Right. It affects a whole bunch of people. And, you know, we are good stewards of our donors. We're United Way. We're Catholic Charities.
Yep.
You know, and we try to do the right thing. You know, the focus is to purchase, because we have to purchase about $100,000 worth of generic medication.
That's okay.
We have to purchase that for the 1,600 patients.
Okay.
And we don't need anything to compromise our ability to do that. Because when you do that, you're keeping a diabetic away from their medication, and that's not even including the strips and meters. That's a whole nother conversation because they cost a lot too.
And with this, you said the way that the patients, while there's no cash register either,
right,
for these people,
no
to come
cash
in,
register,
but patients there at Osnam help each other out. This is beautiful what you're saying.
This was what we call the Pay It Forward program. It was a little box that was there for 3 years. Nobody touched it. You know, it was acrylic. It was see-through, but the patients would give $5, $2, you know, whatever, and it was to help another patient with a bus pass or with medication that we don't carry,
right,
or in an emergency situation. And so that's the money that they took. So you took $120, that cost $2,200.
Yeah, they broke, you know, a $2,200
door. And the sad part about it, we take care of so many patients, one of their relatives could be one of our patients.
I hope if we get them that they have to face, maybe they can go face a bunch of patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that would be wonderful.
It'd be a beautiful thing. So let's talk about helping y'all help these 1,600 people here locally, because y'all are busy doing what you do and getting these generic medicines. And you also said you have specialists on staff that they can work with the drug companies to get some donated.
That's how we get, you know, the high dollar medications. We had a young man who was about 36 at the time. He was on a specialized blood thinner. That blood thinner cost $21,000 for a 90-day supply.
Oh my gosh.
We were able to get that for him, but I kind of felt a little bit like Oprah, you know, and you get a car, you get a car, because $21,000, that's a nice car.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're able to get like the Embryo, the Humira. These are those designer medications that you see.
Yeah, the advertisements.
Right,
you know.
Right. But, you know, sometimes that's what the physician prescribes.
Right.
And we try to get that, you know, if it, you know, and sometimes there's a generic equivalent, bio equivalent, and sometimes it's not. You know, they have
it
to have
that. Depends on how new it is and all.
Right.
So
right.
You're doing a combination of buying generics and getting trying to get these drug companies to donate.
And then we have wonderful partners like Direct Relief. Direct Relief is the organization, like when Haiti had an earthquake, they deployed medication to Haiti.
Right.
They are one of our partners. And so they help us to get medication as well. And we also have a partner called Dispensary of Hope out of Tennessee. So they help us to get low cost generic medication. And then, you know, we also have other programs. We are a teaching organization. We have fourth-year pharmacy students from Auburn University coming in.
Oh, wow, good.
Doing their rotations with us. And what they do is they sit down with the patients for 45 minutes to an hour, and they say, look, you have to use this insulin now. Here's how you use it. Here's how you eat. Here's how you check your blood sugar. So we take it a step further. We teach that patient how to manage their own chronic illness.
It's going to make them better pharmacists, too, when they get out of school.
Yes, it does. And you know, they love being there because they get to talk to the patient.
Right.
You know? And it teaches them that when a person stands at their counter, once they go retail, when a person stands at that counter and ask for four pills, you know, here's a resource. You know, here's how I'm going to help this patient. I'm going to send them to Osnam, or I'm going to give them a coupon, or I'm going to do something to help this patient.
That is great. Let's talk about the two fronts here. Number one, somebody that's listening to us or maybe has family member, loved one, friend that may need the services. Mm-hmm. How do they contact you to get the services?
They could call us at 251-432-4111. They could visit our website. Our formulary is actually on our website.
Okay.
They could visit our website at www.osnampharmacy.org. And, you know, there's a lot of information. There's even who we're named after on our website.
That's what
Frederick
I was wondering.
Osnam.
Yes, tell me about Frederick.
He's the founder of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. So we continue his good work. You know, he was, you know, in France in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So his work continues to this day through the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and through his namesake, Osnam.
That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how can people listening to this right now who want to help? How can they help? I mean, right now, whether it's, you know, getting the medicine to your patients or putting a new door up.
Okay. They could go online. We have a donate now button, and they have many choices. You know, they could just donate. We appreciate anything they could do because, you know, we are a pharmacy that was built by the community for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're blessed to be able to do this. We're, you know, seeing a patient receive their medication and not having to make a decision between food and buying their medication.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful thing. And helping somebody, you're helping somebody get to work who wouldn't be able to get to work because they couldn't take their medication or take care of a loved one or take care of a child.
Yeah, you said some of your patients are people that were had to leave their job to take care of a loved one.
Right.
Now they don't have the income.
Right. So we have patients like that. We have patients who have applied for disability. You know, when you apply for disability and actually start receiving the checks, you do not have access to health insurance until 24 to 29 months later. So although you're receiving the benefit, you're still uninsured health-wise. Once that 24 or 29 month period is the waiting period mm-hmm. is done, then that's when you have access to Medicare.
Okay.
And so our patients, you know, they're waiting. I mean, they're disabled. They can't work.
Right.
So they just run the gamut. We do have homeless patients. We have just partnered with, you know, there's a new program called the Veterans Recovery Program,
mm-hmm.
and that's on Spring Hill Avenue. We just started receiving homeless veterans from that program. We partner with the hospital systems. You know, some people who are released from the hospital, they're given a whole list of medications. Where are they going to get it from? So we take care of them as well.
Sheree, thank you for what y'all are doing.
Thank you.
Sheree Archer, Executive Director at Ozanam Pharmacy. Need any more information, send us a text or an email, and we'll put you in contact. And we'll have to get a conversation going again very soon.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Sean.
All right. News time now, and we'll check in with Dr. Bill for your forecast and coming right back on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. She is an angel on earth. Sheree Archer, Executive Director at Ozanam Pharmacy. Yeah, check them out online. Looking for a local charity, keeping your money right here at home. There are a lot of good ones, and that is definitely on the list of good ones out there. Also, speaking of which, going on tomorrow, Touch a Truck event out at the Hank, benefiting Adoption Rocks and the Mitchell Cancel Institute, keeping your money here at home. And the Touch a Truck thing is pretty cool because they have heavy machinery out there, like excavators, bulldozers, also fire trucks, ambulance, police vehicles, boats. Coast Guard has a boat out there. And it's supposed to be so you bring the kids out. And so I bring the kids as cover because maybe there's some parents and we like to look at those things too. It opens up tomorrow at 10 at the Hank. It's $20 per carload. So if you got like the, an extended SUV and you can pack a bunch of those children in there, still $20 safely buckled in. Come on in. It's $20. You get to hang out, do the Touch a Truck deal. They got food trucks there as well for some food for hungry kiddos and parents. And from 10 to 11 tomorrow, no sirens, no big noises for children that have sensory issues. That's from 10 to 11, and then they'll fire up the sirens and everything at 11. It goes till 2. That's tomorrow at the Hank. So another great event and a local charity. But if you want to, see folks helped at home, I think we all do. Nothing against national charities. There's a lot of national charities, and of course we're big fans and supporters of Fisher House. Helping build those veterans home away from homes for their families next to VA facilities. So I'm a big fan of them, too. But locally, it's usually where my heart goes first. And what those folks are doing with Ozanam is a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right. I told you lottery back in the mix, and I was going to give you a timeline on lottery. A story from Sean Ross over at Yellowhammer News. And okay, here we go. So here's the latest. So state senator McClendon said this is the year the lottery will go through. Now I've heard different versions of this. Now I've heard that they will discuss lottery and they will take it up to a certain point. This is the Montgomery. I know y'all are sick of them already. I told y'all that they will discuss lottery to a certain point and kind of tee it up for session in 2020. But according to Jim McClendon out of Springville, he says his lottery bill is going to pass this year. Okay, of course, he should. I guess if you're bringing the bill, you're carrying the bill. He believes this is the year, this is the session for the lottery proposal to pass the legislature and get a referendum of the people for approval. He said, I don't know where it is. Anyone that comes on social media saying that we're squandering money on this project or that project and then pointing out exactly where it is and how it is, we'll just look into it. And he's talking about the gas tax increase. And then he goes on to say, we've cut expenses. We've cut state employees. We've done a bunch of stuff since 2010 to make this more and a more efficient state. I don't know where all the wasted money is. And then he goes on to say, we need money to do this. He goes down the list of things. And so on top of the gas tax increase, Senator McClendon is saying that the lottery is going to be a big part of this. Now, where do you think the lottery, anyone raise their hand, where is the lottery money going to go? Where would it go? What are the pressing needs in the state, money-wise? We just heard it, infrastructure, right? That's a pressing need. Alabama prisons. Although the Governor Ivey may do an end around with having an executive move here to have private companies build new prisons and then the state pay rent on those prisons, even though it'd be Alabama Department of Corrections officers working there, it would be owned by the private entity and we'd be paying rent to them for the prison. But we need money for prisons, need money for infrastructure. Right? Medicaid expansion, that's been discussed, right? So these are like pressing priorities when you look at the 7% of the general fund budget that's not earmarked. Okay? That's it. But I told you, because it's a lottery, and this is how it goes, people think lotteries have to always equal funding for schools, and hey, Alabama, we wouldn't be any different. McClendon, who's introducing his lottery bill on Tuesday, he says, so when they return to regular session this coming Tuesday, the lotto bill will hit the floor. I mean, not in a bad way, like will be brought to the floor. He said he plans for lottery revenues to be split between the Education Trust Fund and the General Fund. So you knew it. It had to be the ETF. And this is not anti-ETF. This is not anti-education in our state. But the Education Trust Fund, and if I'm being repetitive for some of y'all, I'm sorry, because there's people waking up to how our system works every day. In Alabama, there's a General Fund, and then there's an Education Trust Fund. And never the twain shall meet, except for a few kind of weird things. But Education Trust Fund is behind a wall. We always talk about the wall. They cannot, they being the House and Senate, members of the legislature, can never move money from the Education Trust Fund and its financing sources, right, its revenue stream. They can never take that money and put it over in the general fund. There's a wall blocking them. Who says walls aren't effective? It blocks them from getting the money out of the ETF. Then you have the other money that's the general fund. Out of the general fund, 93% of the money in the general fund has been earmarked. In other words, they have said this revenue stream into the state, it's a tax, it's a license fee, it's a whatever, equals funding for this thing over here that the state does. Those are already like, and they can't be changed. Money comes in from here and it goes to there. And you go, hey, what if we need more money over here and less in that thing? Doesn't matter. Money comes in here and goes to there. 93% of our general fund budget is like that. But we are going to be sold to you as an education lottery, even though some of the money may go to the general fund. McClendon's proposal will allow multi-state games like Mega Millions to be played in Alabama, as well as Alabama's own lottery. He's going to bring this to the floor on Tuesday. Which, speaking of which, Big Lotto ended up to something like, something making it worth the drive or something, $500 million or something right now. People heading to Florida right now probably has some talking. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:47, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Y'all say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. Hey, Angelo.
How's it going, Sean?
Going good. So let me think how I'm going to make this horrible, clunky segue. People will follow the rainbow to the pot of gold and silver as they head to Mobile Pay Coins, something like that.
Yeah, that works pretty well. I mean, you know, you don't have to go out there hunting at night for the Crichton Leprechaun if you want your little pot of gold there. Just come by the shop, check out all the different cool pieces we have. Everything from you know, plain silver bars and silver rounds to some of the cool pop culture stuff. Actually got some new Captain America silver rounds in for all the Marvel nerds out there.
So they make the, from hearing you talk over time and seeing what's in the shop, they make a silver round for like lots of things. It's, I mean, you can get something, you find something, whatever your friend or loved one you're going to give the gift to, whatever they're into, there could very well be a silver round for it.
It seems like there's almost everything out there. I mean, we've had people come in and say, well, what about unicorns? It's out there. It's probably out there. And we try to keep a really wide variety on our silver items here. Gold, not quite as much, because gold is so pricey. But most people love to get an ounce of silver. And with all the cool different designs we've got available, you're pretty well guaranteed to find something that's perfect for the one you want to get it for.
All right. And one more question. This is really a self-serving question. How's your supply on OpenL knives right now?
Doing really, really well. Restocked those again just the other day. Got a bunch more of those small little colored pocket knives that were so popular over Christmas.
Right.
And restocked the OpenL Outdoors as well.
Oh, man, y'all are going to love those knives. Go by and check them out at Mobile Bay Coins. Yeah, give people directions.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto the website. Check out the new website at mobilebaycoins.com and link to the podcast, which is right here on 106.5.
Yeah, and of course, you could just listen to it live, too, if you want to check them out on Tuesday nights, Two Guys and Some Change. Thanks, Angelo. Speaking of, you know, the weekend ahead, and Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. We'll run through the schedule here in a second with what's happening. If you want to go check out Friendly Sons Parade or any of the different events, we'll get into that. And also, I don't know, Dalton, can you do a search here? Will the Leprechaun movie be on television? Oh, I guess we could just go get it on Netflix, right? Did it make the cut for Netflix? You know what I'm talking about? The Leprechaun's like it's like a killer leprechaun. It's like really, y'all know that I like really very bad movies bring me some joy. I see very few movies, but there's not kind of bad. Kind of bad's a waste of my time. But if the movie is so bad, trying to be serious, that it makes me laugh, then I get a kind of a sick enjoyment out of it. The Leprechaun movies, if I remember, it was like the worst makeup job for the Leprechaun. The Leprechaun would, no matter what was happening in the movie, then it'd just be a scene. You'd be looking at a door, the camera would focus on the door, and you, at any point, the Leprechaun would jump out and start, like, slashing people.
Yes, I remember watching Leprechaun in...
There's, like, one, two, and three. There's multiple.
Yeah, junior high and high school.
You are young.
Yeah, it was a good time. It looks like there is a Leprechaun marathon on the Sci-Fi channel. And, Do you want to hear the schedule?
Of course,
okay.
I do.
It begins at 8 a.m. on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. And for some reason, they're starting with Leprechaun Back to the Hood. Back to, the number two, back
right.
to
They're not
the
doing
hood.
It chronologically?
They're not doing it all.
That bothers my brain.
After that, Leprechaun in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Leprechaun 4 in Space. I missed that one. I've seen a few of them.
Me too.
I haven't seen Leprechaun in Space. After that, Leprechaun 3, then Leprechaun 2. It bothers me they're doing it this
yeah.
way. And then after that, Leprechaun, the first,
yeah,
the initial
yeah.
Leprechaun. And then after that, Leprechaun Returns, and it kind of all starts over again.
So there, so I get up at 7:30 or so, make some bacon and eggs for the kids, and then then there's their father sitting on the couch at 8 o'clock in the morning watching Leprechaun. Which one? Leprechaun Hood 2?
Yeah, Leprechaun Back to the Hood, and many people noting
classic film.
For some reason, Leprechaun Origins not included in this marathon. So if you want to see the entire suite of Leprechaun movies, you'll need to find a way to rent or find Leprechaun Origins before you begin this day long binge.
There were like three of them I'd never even heard of before.
Yeah, and Leprechaun,
and I bet you in that movie the Leprechaun jumps out and slashes somebody
in every single one of them
about every 7 minutes.
Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Okay, you know what, we may have to get a showing of that here in the studio.
Yeah, for
right,
sure.
There you go. Sci-Fi Network starting at 8 on St. Pat's Day.
8 on St. Patrick's Day.
All right, good stuff. That's Dalton Orwig. By the way, he comes on into the studio next hour and rolls out all those stories from the web I missed this week with 6.5 stories. All right, going to the phones, and our buddy Ron Reams checking in. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm great now, because I now know there's a Leprechaun in Space movie.
Well, and that goes with the Pigs in Space from the Muppets, of course.
That's right. If you bring the Leprechaun and the Pigs in Space movies together, I think it'll be nothing but bacon and leprechauns.
You know, I'm glad you didn't come to me about 2 minutes ago, because I'm at the Loop, and the train just came through. I couldn't hear a thing.
Do you think are you calling to say the city of Mobile needs to figure out some way to make trains quieter? put felt on the tracks?
No, not necessarily, but it's awful hard to talk with anybody on a telephone.
Well, good. We got lucky. So what's going on?
What I wanted to ask you about is this bill on the lottery. Does this require a vote of the people?
Yeah. So McClendon's bill is, and the good question, because I mentioned it, but I kind of glossed over it. It is not specific. Yeah, it's a move for referendum. In other words, the bill will move, and so y'all understand what Ron and I are talking about. So instead of it being a bill that, if passed, then greenlights a lottery, it's a bill, just like they tried to do in the past, it's a bill to give Alabama the yes or no for a lottery on the ballot next time it comes up.
Okay, that's what I'm in favor of, because I think it really ought to be up to the people to decide whether or not they really want to do this.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's, you know, the way I've been on this the whole time is, I am like you. I'm up for referendum. I really don't have a dog in the hunt, but I don't care either. I think we're chasing dollars that are not going to be there at the level they're predicting.
I would
rather see private enterprise instead of the state being the lottery business. But if people want to vote and say, yes, we want that, and we want the state to do it, then fine. I mean,
I agree with you.
So there it is.
That's all I was wondering, is if they were going to be allowed to vote on it, or mm-hmm. they're just going to put this through. So
no, this will be, yeah, and thanks, Ron. I appreciate it. So what? Once again, there's a difference in, you know, if you had a bill that passed that put the lottery in, it would just happen. But what Ron was asking is exactly what McClendon, who's carrying the bill, is saying. This bill maybe builds out some of the ideas. It would probably have to build out a lot of the ideas of how the lottery would work, how it will look. And then we will, on a, I guess, 2020. Let's say it passed. I guess we'd look at it at 2020. We go to the polls, and there will be one of those line items there, the non-candidate, you know, items, like ballot amendment things. It'll say something, it'll probably say it in some kind of legalese none of us can understand, but it'll be something to the effect of, should the state of Alabama, you know, start a lottery or blah, blah, blah. And then you say yes or no. So there'll be a delay. Don't you see that? Our buddy Ben said that Jennifer Aniston's, was it her first movie? I thought she had been around before. Ben saying that Leprechaun was one of, maybe not her first, Jennifer Aniston's first movies, one of her first movies. It's probably why it caught my attention way back then. We'll just leave it at that. Let's see here. Okay, run down this list real quickly here for you for St. Patrick's Day weekend. I know there's a bunch of other stuff going on. I mentioned a lot. You've got Arts and Crafts Festival, chock full of rubber band guns and other artwork. That's today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You've got, of course, you've got a Spartan race going on. You have a music festival going on. You have a lot of things going on. But let's get down to the very self-serving St. Patrick's Day list. So going on tomorrow and St. Pat's Day at O'Daly's Irish Pub, you got 2 days of fun, foolishness, and fundraising. They got keg and eggs. That's happening. I guess that's tomorrow. The St. Patrick's Day Parade. My boys there, Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, staging their annual parade, streets of downtown. Parade starts, I can tell y'all without looking, starts right there in front of the cathedral, because they go to Mass first, and then you start parading. And it goes, if you've not seen the, I don't know what parade route that is. It should be like Parade Route I for Irish or something. Parade begins from the cathedral, travels south on Claiborne to Government Street, west on Government to Franklin Street, north to on Franklin Street to Dolphin Street, east on Dolphin to St. Joseph, north on St. Joseph to St. Francis, west on St. Francis to Joachim, and then south on Joachim to the Admiral Hotel. And it says, and disband. That was always a problem in the past with the Friendly Sons, was getting them to disband after the parade. The banding up, they did a really good job on. It was just the disbanding. You imagine that bunch might want to continue to have a little celebration for most of their Saturday. So that's going on tomorrow. If you want to check out Friendly Sons parading, that starts right there at Cathedral Square at 11 o'clock tomorrow. All right, so put that on your calendar of things to do. And then our buddy Ronan McSherry at McSherry's Irish Pub is getting it done with live music and great corned beef and cabbage, I'm sorry, and Reuben's, and a good time in Fairhope. So if you got any other activities I'm missing on your St. Pat's Day celebration, you can always text us at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right, coming right back. And before we do, I would just remind you again, I think I did it at the beginning of the hour. I'm trying to remember to do this because it's important that y'all help us out here. VoteNappies.com. nomination process open right now for the 2019 Nappies, the awards with Lanyap. You got to get qualified before you can get voted in. So we sure would appreciate your nominations over at votenappies.com. And I'll bribe you with something. I'll be completely open about that. I'll bribe you. So we'll work something out. Just help us out first, and then I'll get you the stuff.